Without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. There was a man from God sent whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful truth is contained there. And so I would like to just think about these truths this day. If you have your Bibles, just open your Bible to that. Michael, could you get these lights for me? And praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he begins, and I want to take this apart, sort of an exegesis on the first 14 verses, primarily on the first few, because that's what touches me most. One of the greatest passages in the Bible is this, the what they call the prologue of the Gospel of John, where he sets up all the things that he's going to say basically about Jesus Christ. So the prologue starts off where the first verse in John said, in the beginning, and what other verse says that? Genesis 1 says, in the beginning. So Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Gospel of John said, in the beginning was the Word. And I was interesting to compare the two, and certainly that is what John must have been doing here. John starts with, in the beginning was the Word, and as I said, Genesis, in the beginning, God. And so Genesis starts with the creation and with God creating and looks ahead. So think about this. Genesis starts, in the beginning, God created. So he's looking ahead. In the beginning, of course, we can say in the beginning of what? Maybe in the beginning of creation, God created, and he looks ahead. Where John starts with, in the beginning was the Word, he is looking backwards because he said, in the beginning, and the next word gives it away when he says was. In the beginning was already. Already was there. The Word was already there. In the beginning was the Word. So in the beginning was the Word, and I think it's very important that we take that into consideration when we think about this. Because I am presenting the Word as being our Lord and Savior. And so when Jesus is saying in later on in John, and now, O Father, glorify thy me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. He makes some wonderful truths and wonderful statements here. A few scriptures I want to share with you along the lines of what I'm talking about. In John 3:13, he said, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. John 6:46, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Again, Jesus is speaking of himself. And lastly, in John 16:28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So who or what is this Word? Keep going. I don't know if that's up there, but in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So who or what is this Word? Now, I heard a discussion that a Jehovah Witness was giving, and they described the Word as an it, the word it. It was not a person, but it was some idea or philosophy. So the Jehovah Witnesses do not consider the Word to be Jesus Christ or any aspect of God. They merely consider it to be a noun, which is an idea or a philosophy. I have a thought for you. If you saw somebody drowning, would you want to help them? Who would want to help them? Who wants to let them drown? No, I don't. So you would do whatever you can. And if you saw somebody that was standing on a boat with a life preserver in their hand, and the person were there drowning, and they're right beside them in the boat, and the person stands beside them and says, you know, you really shouldn't have fallen in there, and if you stay in there, you're not going to be able to, you're going to sink, and you're going to go under the water. And I just would like to explain to you that this life preserver is, I don't know if it would save you, and I don't know if it really would help you. And if this person went on, wouldn't you want to smack him across the head? Throw him in the water with the person. Yeah, that's it. Well, as I listen to this Jehovah Witness talking that Jesus Christ is no more than a created being that God had made in the beginning, I was so angered as I thought about how people that are believing that are deceived. Now, I know in this day of political correctness that I'm really not supposed to be attacking what we might call other religions. I should be standing up here and say, well, you can get to heaven in many ways. Maybe you want to be a Hindu and get to heaven. Maybe you want to be a Jehovah Witness. Maybe you want to be a Mormon. Maybe you want to be a Confucius or any a myriad, a Scientologist, any myriad of religions. And I should be very gentle and saying, but I can't be gentle. Because this it angers me that people are dying and on their way to hell, and these false religions are putting up a false hope for salvation. Don't you believe that we should stand for the truth? Would you be willing to die for the truth? I would be willing to die for Jesus Christ. And so I am presenting to you that the Jehovah Witnesses, if you have been caught in that cult or have ever thought that Jesus Christ was a created being, that you have been deluded and deceived. And Jehovah Witnesses are deluded and deceived, as are the Mormons, as are the Hindus, as are all those that read the Quran. Now I said it. Are you going to stay or are you going to leave? That's the truth. It's the truth. Because I would jump in with that life preserver and try and help the person. I would do everything I could. I wouldn't give them a false doctrine or a false sense of hope. There is only one way to find Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. How can you not be emotional about that? How can you not be exercised by the truth of Jesus Christ and ever want to even consider giving credence to another religion? I can't do it. I can't do it. I've got to tell you the truth whether you like it or not and whether you like me or not. You know, it's really okay if you don't like me. Although I'm a very likable person. Amen? But that's not the point. The point is that I am desperate to see you have eternal life, because the option is not so good. The option is to be eternally separated from Jesus Christ and everything that is holy, to have no way of getting back to God. It is given unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. If you have never made Christ your Savior, wake up! The time is close. Christ is coming back. That's exciting. Paul said, you know, for some it's exciting. It's exciting because there's two things that can happen. One is that you're going to go and meet the Lord and be ever with Him. The other tragically exciting thing, maybe exciting in the wrong way, is some people are going to go through devastation for the rest of their life. I want you to come to Christ. I implore you. I plead with you to come to Jesus Christ. I pray that the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now that today is the day of salvation for you. To accept Christ as your Savior. To realize that you are a hell-bent sinner. And there's nothing you can do to redeem yourself. I heard one man say it this way about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had to be God. Because some people say, well, can you come to salvation and refuse to believe that Jesus is God? Here's the thought. When man sinned against the infinite God, when man sinned that first sin, it was a sin not just against a person. Of course, the first sin wasn't really against a person, other than if you're saying that God is a person, and he is. It wasn't sin against a human so much as it was a sin against the infinite God. And once there was a sin against the infinite God, it needed an infinite payment, an infinite atonement, an infinite recompense. Our first parents could not make that atonement. They couldn't make it right. They had ruined this perfection that God had made on earth. It was an infinite, egregious sin towards the infinite God, and it needed an infinite payment. And there was no one on earth that could do it. And Satan thought that he had us, that he forever was going to rule over us, that mankind was eternally under him, and that God had lost the earth to Satan. But God had a plan. God had a plan. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Corruption is going to come because man has turned away from being obedient to God. I don't want it to come. But it was inherent in the sin. The soul that sins, it shall die. The day that you sin is the day that you die. And you know why you're all going to die? Because you're all sinners. He said, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come down to this earth. And I'm going to humble myself and become a man. And I'm going to pay the infinite price which only God can pay. You said, well, why didn't God just say, you're all done, ollie and free, that's all forgiven. Because God followed his own law, and his law said that the soul that sins, it shall die. The supreme God of all eternity could not die because a spirit cannot die, and so he became a man, so that the man aspect of the incarnate Jesus Christ could suffer and die for your sins. Blood needed to be shed because the life is in the blood, and that's what God did. I'm going to come down in the person and become Jesus, the Christ. It is going to be the eternal Son of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there shall be no end. In Genesis 3:15, it tells us that the seed of this woman, or that which is born from woman, would crush the head of Satan. And Satan would bruise the heel of this promised seed. We see that to be the foretaste of the fulfillment of Christ dying on the cross for your sins, because he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. But in his death on the cross, he crushed Satan, he crushed sin, and he crushed all those who would lay their self down at the foot of the cross so that he might rise them again to newness of life. Now I'm telling you, you have either not thought about this or you are blinding your eyes as Satan, the Bible says, Satan would blind the eyes of them that believe not. But I'm telling you, take the blinders off today. Allow the Holy Spirit to say to you, you need to have Christ in your life. I'm praying for Amber Lee. I know she's going to go through difficulties in life. She'll face challenges, as every child will, and as every person in this congregation will. You'll get sick sometimes. You'll get wounded sometimes. Your spirits will be bruised. You'll be insulted. You'll feel bad. But that doesn't mean that God is not there or doesn't love you. You're going to die, but that doesn't mean that God loved you. That means that God is there to give you newness of life, both here in this world and in the life to come. I want to walk through this life with Jesus Christ. I want that baby to walk through life with Jesus Christ. The only way to do that is to have Jesus Christ in your heart. First, realizing that it only could have been God. It only could have been God that could have made the infinite sacrifice for your sins. So it wasn't though God made you sin or allowed you to sin and then left you high and dry. No, he came and he died for you that you might have life. Isn't that a wonderful God? I mean, people get mad at God because, oh, this happened in my life, therefore I'm never going to talk to God again. How foolish. Because God is the only one that can bring you peace. God is the only one that will ever deliver you. In the beginning was the Word. He was from the beginning. If you remember what Christ said when they asked him about Abraham, he said, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said before Abraham was, I am. I means I have eternally been here. I have been here forever. Before Abraham was or anyone was, I was here. In the beginning was, the Word was. And the Word was with God. I find this so very interesting. Because when I think about the Word was with God, it means that there must be two separate parts. The Word was with God. It is the first formation that I see, now of course in John, where he is establishing the truth of the Trinity. We are what we call Trinitarians, meaning that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Not three gods, one God in three persons, united together in a beautiful union, even as Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then the next phrase is so beautiful because now you see that these two entities are united. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. The one that we are worshiping is God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful truth. I pray that you would receive all the beauty of that, and though I got a little animated talking about false cults, I want you to know that I pray for their salvation. I would that none should perish. Christ would that none should perish. If I saw my worst enemy drowning in the water, I would try to save them. If I had seen my worst enemy, I would want to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to whomsoever will, whoever will hear. And that must be the heart of each one of us. Amen? Amen? We must have that willingness to love, even as Christ loved. What a beautiful union that Christ had with the Father. And I see again, while I'm going back to the Jehovah's Witnesses, they leave calling the Word an it, and now they say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They have reduced the truth of the eternal Son of God into a created other God. Now, can you see the difference? It's called the New World Translation, which is a heresy, because our Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not the Word was a God. Didn't the Bible said, thou shalt have no other gods but me? There are no other gods. There is only one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Son of God. There are no other gods. And so when they say that Jesus Christ was a God, do you realize the heresy doesn't stop just there? The heresy continues because God says, the Father said, my glory will I not share with another. And you know who was worshipped in the New Testament? Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ received worship and he was not God, then he was not a good person. Many people want to say that Jesus was just a good person. If he said he was God and he was not God, he was not a good person. He was a rotten person if he said, I am God, and he was not God. But he is God. Colossians says, all things were made by him. And I give God glory for that. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No one should be worshipped but the true God, who is Jesus Christ. But now, I want to tell you who all worships God. Just a few, because we could go all day here. In Hebrews 1:6, and when he had again brings the firstborn into the world, Jesus Christ, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. Do you hear that? All the angels of heaven are to worship Jesus Christ. The Bible said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's who's to worship him. Matthew 14:33, and those who were with him in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly the Son of God. Matthew 2:2, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? If you remember when Jesus was born and Herod wanted to kill him, he said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And he said, for we have seen his star and have come to worship him. So the three wise guys, the wise men came to worship Jesus Christ. I thank God for that I have a Christ. Not only God was the only one that could save me, he's the only one that I have to worship. Michael said it so beautifully today. When I come here to worship this on Sunday, I come to worship Jesus Christ for what he has done for me. I can't see the Father. I can't see the Holy Spirit. But he has given me Jesus Christ so that we might see God's perfect man and man's perfect God in Jesus Christ. That's who we have in the Son of God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. All things were made by Jesus, and without him was nothing made that was made. In Colossians it said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Do you realize that everything in the world was made for Jesus Christ? Do you realize you as the church are the bride of Christ? That you were made for Christ's pleasure? Why did he make humanity? Why, we glorify him because we are to give glory to him for his pleasure, not for our pleasure. Many philosophies and Christian philosophies are now thinking that we are here on earth so that God can bless us with everything that we want. We are here on earth to bless God. That is why I'm here. But I will tell you, in the midst of blessing God, we are blessed. You will find your greatest joy in glorifying and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no greater joy than you experience than when you give yourself over to worship of Jesus Christ. Only God has that creative power. All things were made by Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. The Bible said, in Him was life. In Him was life. And the life was the light of man. I love in 1 John, and it was written also by John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. And then in 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which you have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. So, in Him was life. Here's what life is. And here was what the light is. The life that is in you is the light of Jesus Christ when you have been born again by the Spirit of God. In Him was life. There is no life creative force. That means the life that creates and passes on. There is no creative force in created things. There is only created force in God Almighty. He is the creator. No one else creates but God. I mean, we can create havoc, but only God can create that which is beautiful and pure and lovely. And the light that He brings into your life, what is that light? What is the light that Christ has brought into your life? Why, it's the light of the truth of His holy life in you. The Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's the light. The light is the person of Christ within you, emanating the truth of the gospel, which is found in the Spirit of God flowing forth from you. Those fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that is what flows forth from you. That is the light of Christ. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to God. As you let the light of Christ shine forth from you, they will glorify God, because what you are doing will be done in love. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The Bible says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I've always loved that. When it says comprehendeth it not, it means it can't overcome it. The light can't be overcome. And I've used this illustration before. But if this room was totally dark, and we do usually do this on Christmas Eve, and we lit one candle, you could see that one candle. If there was one patch of darkness over there, the light dispels the darkness, but the darkness can never dispel the light. If you make one pocket of darkness, it is confined to where it is. But when the light comes, it exposes the darkness. Jesus Christ is that light that exposes the darkness of your sin and the darkness of your life, and He brings the light of the truth of the gospel to you this day. This day, God is showing His light of love upon you and pleading with you to turn from the darkness and turn to that light that cannot be hid, which is only found in Jesus Christ. His light has shone as a light to all creation. And I thank God that when Christ came into this world, He immediately began to emanate His light. And the shepherds came and worshiped Him as the light of the world that would come into the world. Death has shone as a light to the truth of His love. Because in His death, He hung on the cross and He died for your sins, and that death wasn't, that death literally extinguished my sin and Satan's ability to thwart the works of God. I thank God for that. The resurrection shines so brightly as the hope of all eternity. And every time I go to a funeral or preach or hear this preached, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that has brought light and hope into the world. Again, if you're a person that has lost some hope, lost some confidence, doubts in their life, remember the resurrection that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ever liveth to make intercession for you. That is my hope. That is my glory. And so the Bible goes on in this prologue. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We know him as John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. If you remember, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He came as the forerunner of the Messiah, and he told that he would go and he would save all mankind because he was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. That true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, he was in the world. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of the living God, even to them that believe on his name. Now listen to me. I am no longer a child of my Father. I'm a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have given my life to Jesus Christ. He has made me a son and a joint heir with Jesus. And for as many of you as received Christ as your Savior, he has given you the power to become sons and daughters of the living God. Who can rejoice in that? Wow. I do rejoice in that. That I know that my name is written in that Lamb's book of life. I know that when I leave this world, I will not leave into some oblivion I will not be dead and lying in the grave. My body may well be, but my spirit is at home with the Lord. What a joy to know that. And while I am walking on this earth, Jesus Christ is walking with me because his spirit is in me. What a truth. What a blessed truth to know that I have Jesus Christ, not only for eternity to come, but for this life, he is with me. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He said this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Being born again is not doing a lot of good stuff. Being born again is not going to church every Sunday. Being born again is not never doing anything wrong. Being born again is not eating proper foods. Being born again is not making daily sacrifices in the Jewish temple. Being born again is have the Spirit of God to come inside you and to reside in you. That is being born again, and that only happens when you receive Christ as your Savior. There are those that you cannot see this with your eyes, but the Spirit of Christ is in you. And I've told you this before. Even though I can't see this with my eyes, you know who can see it? God Almighty. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And do you know how that's going to happen? Because God's going to come down and look around. And everybody that is sealed with the Spirit of the living God is going to be called up. He's going to say, "Come on up." And we're going to go shooting up into the air, called out of this place, up to be with Christ forever and ever because of the seal of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. If you are not sealed with the Spirit of God, then you are not born again. If you are born again and you've received Christ as your Savior, you have the seal of the Spirit of God within you. Hallelujah. That's fantastic. The last verse in this portion of Scripture, sometimes the prologue is considered to be chapter 1, 1 through 18, but I'm just taking 1 through 14, because this ends in the place that I want to end. And the Word, so if you were ever wondering what the Word is, whether it's an it, a philosophy, or something else, the Bible said, and the Word became flesh. This is the incarnation. This is when the babe which was born in the womb of Mary, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were united together, and the union of God and man was accomplished in the person of Jesus Christ. Fully God, fully man, fully Savior, to give the infinite sacrifice for you. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He came from God. He went back to God. He died for your sins. He's coming again to receive you to Himself, that where He is, there you may be also. What greater proposition could ever be offered to man than Christ Almighty? We thank God for this truth. All glory belongs to Jesus Christ. All the glory that I can give, all the praise that I can muster, belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, for who He is, and then for what He's done, and then for what He's going to do. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us. It's beyond my comprehension. In my feeble way, I've only been able to express and scratch the surface of the beauties of the person of Jesus Christ. But if you would accept Christ today, you can delve into the beauties of Christ through the rest of your life, and you will never exhaust the perfection of His person. You will never become bored with His life in you. You will rejoice. You will grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I pray the Spirit of Christ would move in you now and compel you to come to the person of Christ. Let us pray. And Lord God, we give You glory this day for Your life in us, for Your love to us, for Your hand extended to unworthy humanity, that they might find in You, Lord God, a reason to live, a reason to hope, a reason, Lord God, to rejoice because of who You are and what You have done for them. If there be someone in this congregation this day that has not made Christ their Savior, I pray, Lord God, that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will touch them now and let them know that today is the day of salvation, that You stand with open arms calling them to Yourself, and as many as would say, I do receive You, Jesus. I receive You as my sin bearer, as the one who died for me. I accept You as my Lord and my Savior, as the Word made flesh, as my God. I receive You now. Take my sins from me, wash me, make me whiter than snow, so at the end of my life, I might stand with You in eternity, and that throughout my life, You will walk with me, and You will guide me, and You will give me joy unspeakable throughout my life. If you want to accept that person, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, it can just be between you and God. You can say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died for my sins and that You rose again for my justification. I receive You now. Say that to Him. Say it in your heart. You know you need Christ. So right now in your heart, say, Lord Jesus, I receive You as my Savior. And say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I want to be born again by Your Spirit. And so I receive that truth in my heart right now. I repent of my sins. I turn away from that sinful life, and I receive You as my Savior. if you've said that, the Bible said that if you would receive him, that you would become a child of God. If you've said that, you can be assured of eternal life. If you've said it and meant it and believed it, you can know for a certainty that when you leave this world, you will be with Christ. If there be someone in this congregation that has said that, and you just want to say, yes, Lord God, I said that, kind of wave at me, I'll wave at you, and we'll say yes. Anybody at all? Anybody? So, Lord God, bless those, Lord God, that have made Christ your Savior, their Savior. And, Lord God, encourage them to walk in the way of righteousness. And we will give you all praise in Christ's name. Amen. If the ushers would come forward, we'll have our communion now.